Hello, I'm here to speak today about remote state preparation. I'm going to look at classical versus quantum and explain to you what that means. I should mention, even though I'm the only one who's listed up there, this is a collaboration with my supervisor, Norbert Lückenhaus, and Kevin Rush's experimental group at IQC. And later on, Devin's going to come up and share some results that are related to the benchmarks I give here. Okay? So, to begin with, what exactly is remote state preparation? I've put a very simplistic picture up here of what's going on, but this gets the general idea across. So Alice has some pure quantum state, or even she doesn't even have the state, she just needs to know, say, the name of the state. She's got a list of states and she just picks one. And she sends some information to Bob, but it's only classical information. And Bob prepares some output state. And ideally you'd like the output state to match the input state as well as possible. Okay, I'll complicate this picture a little bit because that was obviously a bit too simple. So instead of just having one particular state, as I said, Alice will have a whole list of states and they'll have some probabilities associated with them. So she reaches into a bag and picks out an index, and that's the one she is challenged with Bob to prepare. Okay, she'll send limited classical information. So say if I have four states, then she's allowed to send four different messages. Obviously, she can just tell Bob prepare state one, prepare state two, whatever. That's very simple. So we usually say she has less information than is possible to classify these states. Bob is going to prepare some average state, so they're going to repeat it very many times, and then you look at the average state that Bob prepared at the end as the thing that we compare to the input state. And since this is quantum information, we're going to allow some entanglement, because that's always a good resource to use. And we allow them to coordinate their strategies beforehand, so they can get together in a room, decide how they're going to play this game, and then go to their separate locations and give it a shot. Okay. So you might ask, isn't this pretty much just teleportation? And it's very simple comparison with teleportation, but actually remote state preparation is even easier, because usually in teleportation, Alice has some unknown state. Some referee hands her a state and says, here, teleport this to Bob. But she never has any knowledge of that state. But here she does. She knows when she picks a state out of the hat which one she's trying to prepare. So it can be no harder than teleportation. Okay, and I'm interested in the question on how well can they do. Okay, so we're going to use the figure of merit to be this fidelity between the input and output states, and we're going to average over all the possible states that she could choose. Yep?
But
yeah, the more bits, classical bits, she can send, the better they can do. So there'll be two restrictions. There's going to be a number of classical bits and whether or not they have entanglement. I'm going to compare classical resource and quantum resources for communication and see what the difference is.
And what's the motivation for
it? Because they're doing an experiment in the lab that does this, and we need to know whether the experiment is good enough to show demonstrably quantum effects versus something that you could reproduce, which is classical information. Okay. So in that experiment, they use, say, two classical bits and entanglement to basically teleport. And we would like to say, have they done good enough to beat something that you could do without that entanglement anyways? Okay? Is there another question?
So if everything that goes in is a few sites, everything that's all compared?
So in general, mixed includes pure. So everything here is pure, and everything there could be mixed or pure. In experiment, it's almost always going to be mixed because there's never a perfect amount. And that's exactly why we want to look at how well they can do, because they can't always perfectly teleport a state, say. And that's exactly what I wanted to get into. So with teleportation, theoretically, you can get 100% here. Your fidelity can be 1. But in experiment, you can't match that exactly. So how well do you have to do in this average fidelity in order to say we're still quantum? And that's the key here. Okay, so I put this little slider here to indicate kind of the idea we're talking about. It says, if we look at this average fidelity and we don't allow entanglements and we allow limited classical information, there's some maximum number they can reach. And if your experiment can beat that, then you know you're in this quantum regime and you can make some claims about how you're doing something novel. And no one can argue that, well, actually, I can do that in my lab, which is classical information. Okay, so the rules of the game for classical remote state preparation is no entanglements allowed, and we're going to have limited classical bits, say 2 classical bits, because that's all you need to teleport a qubit is 2 classical bits, so that's what we'll use. Okay. So if you're going to do an experiment, I'll tell you, here's the benchmark you have to beat, and if you beat it, then you can find success. Okay, so how do we find this optimal benchmark? We have to look at the strategy that Alice and Bob can use and decide what's the best thing they can do. And really, there's only one thing that's under Alice's control here and one thing that's under Bob's control here. Alice picks out a state, and she has to choose what message to send to Bob when she gets that state. And when Bob receives that state, he has to choose what state to output. And if you can just look at those two things separately, optimize for Bob's output state and Alice's input state, then you'll get the overall optimum strategy. Okay, so first we'll assume that Alice has some specific messaging strategy in mind, and we'll look at Bob. Okay, so she pulls state psi 0, say, and she sends some message. It can be deterministic. She could send, say, message 4, or she could probabilistically decide her messages. She could flip a coin and send message 4 or message 6, depending on what she wants to do. Yeah? No, they're going to be fixed for now, but I'm not going to say any more about what they are until later on. There's different ensembles you can choose, and depending on the choice of input states, you'll get different benchmarks. Okay. Yeah, if they're orthogonal, then it kind of makes it easy for them too. Okay, so if you look at this average fidelity, this is the formula for it. And then you can rewrite it in a different form. You can say, well, let's, instead of looking at the n possible messages that Alice will send, we'll look at instead of looking at the n states that Alice has in her bag, we'll look at the 2 to the c classical messages she could send. So there's c classical bits, she can send 2 of the c distinct messages in binary. So we'll look at the different messages. Okay, so pk is the probability of a particular message being sent, message k. Rho k bar is an average state. Those are all the states that Alice might send message K when she draws. And this rho K out is what Bob has. That's his output state. And he needs to decide, what's the best rho K out that I can do to maximize this quantity? Okay. So if you think about it, the K, each K term is different. So you can treat each one separately. So for every message, you just maximize this quantity that's in the trace. Okay, and how do you maximize that? Well, it's actually not too hard. This quantity is always upper bounded by the what's called the operator norm of rho k bar. So it's going to be the maximum eigenvalue of rho k bar. And the way to achieve that is to take that eigenvalue, look at whatever eigenstate of rho k bar gives that. That's the state that Bob wants to output. Okay. So if you think if he outputs the maximal eigenstate here, then you'll just get a bra and a ket on each side, and you'll just pick up the eigenvalue. And that's the best you can do. So that tells us exactly what Bob needs to do. Okay. And what that also means, so I said that it was the maximal eigenstate. So that means it was pure. The output state that Bob spit out was pure. Okay, so that means Alice's messaging strategy cannot be probabilistic. because if she sent a probabilistic messaging strategy, say she sent message 0 or message 1, then Bob will output state row 0 or row 1. And then on average, for that input state, they're going to get some average mixed state. But since the optimal output state is pure, then it must be that the optimal messaging strategy is deterministic. So what does this mean? It means if you have your set of input states, you're basically just grouping them into partitions. And for each partition, you send a fixed message. So if I ever pluck this state out of my hat, then I send message 4. Or 3, sorry. And then Bob already knows what output state is best for him to spit out at the end of that too. And it was, you take the average of those states, and then you look at the maximal eigenvector of that. Okay. And if we specialize to the case where we have qubits, it actually becomes a little bit simpler. So for a qubit, the maximal eigenvector is related to the block vector. Okay, so here's an example here. Say for state psi 3 and psi 12 that Alice pulled out of her hat, she decides to send the same message. Okay. Then, according to what I just showed, the optimal output state for Bob is to first look at the average of those two. So according to this diagram, it's actually weighted more towards this side because this one's it's further along the line there. And you get some average state. And then what you do is you look at the pure state that's along that same block vector. And that's the one you want to resend. Okay. And if your state is not pure, the best you can do is just this number here, which is the radius of this state. So that's up here where I've written out this maximal eigenvector. It relates to the radius of this mixed state. Okay, so from now on, everything is going to be about qubits. The results I said before hold in generality. They hold for any type of state, but now I'm going to specialize to qubits because I have this geometric picture and also because that's the kind of experiment we want to compare to. Okay, so to summarize, the fidelity for a given messaging strategy is given by this equation here, where pk is the probability of sending message k, and rk is the radius of the average block vector for all states that send message k. Okay, and what's left is now to optimize over Alice's choice of messages. You basically split your n input states into 2 to the c subsets and find this number for each subset and see which one gives you the maximum. And that's the optimal classical strategy. So I'll give an example. For instance, let's assume that Alice can only send 2 classical bits, as in the case in teleportation. And we'll look at these states here. So this is, imagine this is inscribed in the block sphere. Every point on this icosahedron is a point on the block sphere. So I'm talking about the vertices. So there's 12 of those. Okay. And I gave you the formula for the optimal fidelity, and then you can just feed it to a computer and say, test all the different ways to permute these messages and tell me which one's the optimum. And what it turns out is this one here. So you take 3 states that are closest together and group them. Right? And that kind of makes sense because if they're farther apart, then their average is going to be very close to the middle. And so it's going to have a very small block vector radius. So the closer your states are, the larger the block vector radius will be and the better fidelity you can achieve. Okay. And so I've outlined which states go together here. I hope you can see it from there, but there's different colors indicating which ones. And the number it spits out is 0.8973. So if I was going to do an experiment, remotely prepare one of these 12 states at random with a uniform distribution, then I would need to beat this number. Okay, I'll give another example here. Yeah, so I should say that every example here, it's a uniform probability distribution. So this is another state which is, it's a Platonic solid. So the reason I chose these is because it helps the computer to solve the problem easier because it's very highly symmetric. It doesn't have to search through such a large number of combinations because many points are basically equivalent. Okay, so this is 20 vertices, and if that's your input ensemble, the computer will spit out this answer here. So this is the optimal way to send your messages. And obviously, if you rotate these point to point, it doesn't matter which one you call 00 or 11. It's still going to get the same result. Yeah.
You here assume that fault can
make mistakes. Yeah. So we're going to look for a benchmark to beat. So we give Alice and Bob the best equipment possible, and we say if we can beat the best equipment possible, if they can prepare their states perfectly, then we're good. It's just like in quantum key distribution where you allow E to have anything that's not limited by physics. We assume here that their devices are perfect. Good question. Okay, so this result, if you get any of those top six states, you send message 00. Any on this pentagon on the 5, it's 01. The other pentagon on the other side is 10. And then these kinds of four states here in the back are 11. And that gives 0.8864, which is just a little bit lower than the previous threshold. Yep. Yep. Yeah, it does. I mean, I've done dozens of examples, but these are the ones that were cleanest. And also, one of the goals was to push the benchmarks as low as possible because it gave a lot of room for the experiment to work in. You could think if they're all clustered together, then you really don't need to, separate them. You can just kind of send one and hit the other ones pretty well with that. Okay. So one might say at this point, well, if you look at this picture we had, Alice, if she was doing teleportation, would send two classical bits, and she would have some entangled bit here. And we're saying, well, there's no entanglement about this classical strategy. But is it still fair to only give two classical bits? Because in order to distribute that entanglement, they had to use this quantum channel at least once to set up the entanglement. And so you might say, well, what if we allow Alice to use that channel, but she can only send, say, classical bit across it? So it gives her now three classical bits to use as a more fair comparison. And that's all right. We can look at that. It doesn't modify the results too much. It just changes the numbers. So this is again the icosahedron, and I've allowed Alice to have three c-bits here. And you notice that a lot of these messages now she can identify uniquely a message, or not a message, a state. So for four states, she can identify them uniquely. They can get 100% fidelity on those ones. And the other ones, they have to kind of group pairs of two. And this drives up the benchmark to 95%. And yeah. If I choose the whole block sphere, for two classical bits, it's about 0.89, I think. And for three classical bits, I think it's about 0.94. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I have looked at them. And you can kind of calculate upper and lower bounds on it and get it very tight. And they're actually very similar to the numbers here already. It's lower, but it's not much lower. Yes. So if you kind of take symmetrically distributed states and you plot by number of states, the graph kind of goes down, and the benchmark becomes a little lower and lower asymptotically.
So now you're trying to find some least number of states.
Yeah, well, obviously in an experiment, you can't do the entire block sphere, so you need some finite number of states to compare to. Okay, and finally, just to put the last benchmark here, we have the dodecahedron with 3 classical bits, and the optimal messaging strategy looks a bit like that. It's a bit convoluted, but it gets 0.94 fidelity. Okay, and you can do benchmarks for any set of input states, but if you get too high in number, then the computer just says, you give me 1 billion years, I'll do it, but otherwise I can't help you. So you need to kind of restrict yourself a little bit. But this is already good enough for setting some benchmarks for experiments, and Devin will give a talk later where he might elaborate on the results they got compared to these benchmarks. Okay. So just to summarize, I gave 2 examples of benchmarks that were optimal for the icosahedron and dodecahedron, and I did it for 2 and 3 classical bits, and it shows here where they are. So ideally, you want to have your experiment be able to remotely prepare states with more than 95% fidelity in order to beat all these benchmarks. Other things that I have looked at, but I didn't mention in this talk, you can look at, for instance, if you have the whole block sphere instead of just a finite number of states. You can look at mixed input states, and in that situation, it becomes a lot easier for Alice and Bob. Kind of the more mixed your states are, the easier they are to simulate classically. And you might also count resources even better than I did here. I said, entanglement, we'll give Alice 1 extra classical bit. But you might actually say, if you're going to do this, say, with photons in quantum optics, you always post-select on your successful outcomes. And then what happens to all those other photons that you didn't use? If we include those, is the benchmark still low enough to be beatable? And these are the other questions that I looked at. All right. Thank you. Any more questions?